I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Morning, Wayne. You didn't love what I said yesterday about court storming. You'll like today even less, my friend. So yesterday, Keyshawn Johnson and I went back and forth and back and forth about whether court storming should be banned in college basketball. Keyshawn was a no. I was a big yes.
Old school.
Later yesterday, several old school coaches and ADs, I guess, weighed in because Bill Self said ban court storming. So did Penny Hardaway. Obviously, Duke's John Shire was already on record to outlaw court storming after his team, especially his center Kyle Filipowski, got caught in the middle of a court storm at Wake after Wake upset Duke, though it certainly looked to me like from the overhead video that Filipowski initiated at least some of the contact, if not all of it. But Alabama AD Greg Byrne took the strongest stance, saying the quickest, surest way to eliminate court storming is you storm, you forfeit the game. I have a whole lot to say about this, as I did yesterday, but Keyshawn, I'll give you the first crack at it. Did any reaction from any coach or AD yesterday change your opinion?
Not really, Skip. Mm-hmm. I mean, as we like to say, they're prisoners in a moment. It's an opportunity to talk. It's the news of the day. It's an opportunity to get yourself out there.
I don't think Bill Self needs any publicity, but...
But, okay, so it's one guy. There's one guy with a historic program in Kansas. Mm-hmm. I get it. I understand it.
Yeah.
But these are, what are they going to say? They're going to say, well, you know, I don't have a problem with it. Then everybody going to look at them kind of wild and crazy. I'm taking it from a student standpoint and from a fan's perspective. You know, look, Skip, do we believe that there could potentially be problems down the line in this situation? Yeah. But you can regulate it. You can regulate it. You don't have to just completely halt everything. You can find a way to make it work. It's been around as long as I can remember. This is the third time in 20 tries that Wake Forest has beat Duke.
Yeah.
So the fans are going to go bonkers and crazy. It's Duke. They're from the same state. It's a whole right up the road. Right up the road. So they.
I know it. I've been there. I've done that.
Okay. Yep. And so there's this outcry that all of a sudden everybody's getting hurt and everybody's, you know, getting run over because they're storming on the court or on the field. Yes. Can fans be hurt? Yes. Can players get hurt? Possibly. Yes. Mm. That is true.
Yep.
But you can't, just like everything else, when it comes to sports, they find a way to fix it. They don't outlaw it. Mm. They fix it. Mm. And how come you can't fix this? Why do you have to all of a sudden take it, tear it down, and outlaw it? Why? I don't understand. Mm. Yes, there are people, and most of the people that I see are like old dinosaur, crusty types. That's most of them that I've seen. I haven't really seen a young coach or young player or young analyst say, just let it go away. Mm. No, it's part of the fabric of sports, man. Mm. What do we do? As I said to you yesterday, we like the show. Oh, my God, they won. Look at the crowd storming the field, all of these sort of things. If this didn't happen to the Duke player, Filipowski,
yep.
We probably wouldn't have this same conversation because Caitlin Clark, it happened to her, and it was one single person. It wasn't 10,000 people at the moment that she got clipped and fell to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't come on television the next day, in the next day, in the next day, in the next day.
No.
Right?
Maybe we should have, but we didn't.
But we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
If was a fifth, you know we all be, you know what, Skip?
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. I understand it. You can fix it. You can regulate it to a degree. But to take that away from the students that are paying their money to support their players, again, that they may go to class with, they may have dinner with, who knows, that they may share dorm rooms with, who knows, to take that away from them, because it's really kids. It's not the adults, the older adults, so to speak. These are probably 18 to 25-year-old college students that are storming the field.
Mm-hmm.
Take that away from them, I think you would be doing a disservice to the sports in general in college. Mm.
And I think you'd be saving somebody from a disaster because we keep getting closer and closer to a disaster. So to your
first point. What would be a disaster to you?
Somebody's going to get really hurt badly here, and it's going to be a player or it's going to be a student. And I'm surprised that students didn't get hurt because Filipowski, I thought, initiated the other day as they were running as fast as they could at him and around
him. So you can't fit.
He body blocked and then he fell into.
You can't delay that skip? The storming on the field or court, you can't delay it?
As Kim Mulkey said yesterday, as we had quotes yesterday that we talked about, obviously the coach at LSU, you could put hundreds of security people around the, you know, ring around the rosy if you want to, and you can't stop it because it's just too many humans trying to spill onto the court or to take it to your sport onto the field at the end of college football games. We didn't really get into that yesterday, but that looks sometimes even more dangerous and chaotic because it looks like European soccer riots where it just looks like there's such a mass of humanity on the field. Somebody's going to get trampled at some point. It's a very dangerous situation. Okay, so let's get back to this. You said crusty old farts or whoever they are, right? Okay, so to your point, our man Lil Wayne texted me during the show yesterday. I don't usually look at my phone. I used to, but I just don't have time the way we're doing the show right now. But I saw it just as the show ended that he had texted in the middle of the show, and he was pretty upset with me. And he said, "Your age is showing." And I'm like, "My age is showing? No, no, no. Just for the record, I started protesting this. I started campaigning against this. At least 20, I've been on national TV for 20 years. I was on Cold Pizza campaigning against this. And I don't know that I had anything to do with it or maybe a little bit to do with it. But soon after I started my protest, my league where I went to college, it's called the Southeastern Conference because I went to Vanderbilt University, the doormat of the conference, you can say, but still.
I don't think they ever stormed a court or a field, but go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much for that. But I think they did a couple, they tried a couple times, but, but hey. Well, I'm about to get to that. But the point was, somewhere in that range, about 20 years ago, my league just said, you know what? This is insanity. This is lunacy, and we are going to stop it. And we're going to stop it by $100,000 fine for the first offense. How does it go after that? $250,000 for the second offense and $500,000 for the third
offense. And that's the same season.
Okay.
And that's concurrent in the same season.
Well, you just keep on keeping on. The meter runs.
I'm saying the one, what do you say, one, two, and five?
Uh-huh. Is one, that con- 100, 250, and 500.
Is that concurrent through the same season?
Sure. I mean, if you keep
You're not doing it three games in a season.
No, but it keeps on going.
You're not doing it in a season. You might get one shot. If Vanderbilt, for instance, beat Alabama, that's one time in 30 years.
All right. So speaking of that, my senior year at Vanderbilt, we won the Southeastern Conference in basketball. We won it. Jan Van Bredekhoff and company, we won it. We went 23-5. We beat Alabama at home when Alabama was ranked 8th, and they were loaded with T.R. Dunn and Leon Douglas, and we beat them at home. Did we even think about storming? No, we didn't think about storming the court. It wasn't because we're better than that. We're the Duke kids, you know, they think about storming the court too, right? But the point is that nobody in their right mind would have thought of, let's all rush onto the floor. And now it's gone so crazy that you're rushing at the opposing players that you have been booing the whole game, that you've been catcalling and taunting.
You're rushing to the opposite end to your team.
But so many kids run up to the Filipowskis of the world, the villains of the world.
He was stuck in the middle.
And get right in their face and taunt them. And I'm protecting. It's funny. You're always pro-player. And
yes, it is.
Usually our roles would be reversed on this. But I'm pro-player on this because It's way too, just the dignity of the players. I want to save the Filipowskis from themselves because they don't deserve for a bunch of kids to run up in their face and scream in their face we got you.
I understand.
Really?
Yeah, no, I understand.
You got to stop that. Can you imagine how Russell Westbrook would respond to that
right
now?
Yes, and this is why I say,
Lord have mercy.
This is why I say, though, Skip, you certainly can regulate it absolutely to a degree. Now, can you get on the PA announcement right prior to the game closing and ending and say, hey, 15 seconds, you guys will be able to celebrate on the floor.
Will they honor that?
Skip. Yeah. At some point, you're going to honor it. You're going to respect it. It may not happen day one because you got to get used to it. It's like anything else. When you went through the TSA line, you had to get used to taking off your shoes because back in your day, it wasn't taking off the shoes. Then all of a sudden, you got to take off your shoes. Mm. Now you understand there's a delay. Mm. Everything ain't sped up.
Wait, it's not like you're 20, you know, like yourself.
Well, I'm not bashing you for your...
There was a day when you walked through the TSA line without getting tested for anything,
That's
right?
very true.
Yeah.
But right. I'm saying, though, you get used to it. Before, you used to drink until the game was over. The concession stands were still... When you left the stadium, the concession stands were still open.
They were.
They end them now at the start or the middle of the third quarter.
They do.
You get used to it.
Yep.
So all I'm saying is there's a way to regulate it so that the fan base get used to understanding it's going to take a minute, whatever it is, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 10 seconds, whatever it is, there's a delay for the players and coaches to get off the court. And at that point... Let the fans celebrate. Let them celebrate.
Okay, so even Penny Hardaway, who's still pretty cool. I know he's up there in some age.
He's my age, young.
He's your contemporary, right?
Absolutely, young.
So his quote yesterday was, I understand that this has been part of college basketball forever, but now it's starting to get a little too violent because there are so many people getting caught in the middle of this. The onrush of this is staggering to me because now they're breaking with maybe 10 seconds left, it's like, get ready, set, go. You know, let's all just jump the gun.
Yeah.
Let's just run on the floor because it's pretty cool. Look, Mom and Dad, I'm out on the basketball court and the game's still going on. Maybe I can actually feel like I'm playing college basketball. And hundreds of kids are rushing through, around, over the visiting team.
Yeah.
Who is being upset by the home team. So you of all people know how over-emotional you get in a moment like
that.
So you're asking for it because you told me that at Notre Dame you got...
That same drunken guy that you just mocked.
I know.
He was in my face. But I kept it moving. I just kept going.
The Keyshawn I know...
I was too tired to even be engaged.
All right. But the Keyshawn I know, if you got up in his face enough...
Well,
he's going to respond verbally, and if you start to bump into him, he's going to respond physically.
And this is why I say to you again, Skip, there can be a delay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to act as though you got to get rid of it because you're not going to ever be able to just get rid of it completely.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, forfeit games. The school. That doesn't mean anything. The school got billions.
Well, I understand that.
They got billions.
It actually did put a damper on SEC court storming. It has. It's been good. It's worked.
First of all, it's not that many SEC schools that's in the top rankings all the time where you could just feel like an opponent on the road is going to pop you at home. I mean, like Kentucky. But I'm starting to think, what do you got? Like Kentucky, Alabama was at the top.
Are you doing basketball or football?
Basketball.
Okay.
Well, it's Kentucky.
Yeah, Tennessee.
I mean, you got a handful of them.
Yeah.
But they're probably not going to lose on the road on a consistent basis, is all I'm saying. You may get that once every blue moon.
Yeah.
And if you put something in place to mitigate that 10-second at the rope, oh my God, I gotta go in. All of a sudden, my head is about to explode.
Now
I'm gone.
Yeah.
If you put it in place over time, it will slow it down, just like everything else.
All right. So, I brought this up yesterday, and once again, I was a little ahead of my time and ahead of the curve because then I read the quote in the afternoon from Greg Byrne. He's the athletic director at Alabama.
Sure, it ain't Nick Saban.
Maybe he's speaking for Nick Saban. I don't know. But he said, his quote was, you have two kids run out there. No, no big deal. But when you have a sustained rush, yes, like what happened the other day at Wake,
yes,
you should lose the game. He said, that will get people to stop. And that's what I told you yesterday. There's one way for sure to stop this. You just say, you storm, you forfeit. It's as simple as that. Because it's just, look, just the mere thought of it, there's nothing cute about it. There's nothing romantic, ideal about it. Like, it's part of the college experience to rush the, or storm the court after a big home upset over a visiting powerhouse, right? Who said, where does that, like I sat through those games at Vanderbilt when we won the SEC and we beat Tennessee at home. We beat Alabama at home. They were huge. So we beat Alabama by a point. But I love being at the game enough. I didn't need to finish it off by storming the court. What's this?
That's the Tennessee football game.
Okay.
When they took the goalpost.
All right, great. Way to go. And goalposts can be very dangerous because they're so heavy. Look, you know, like, and
I
people
agree.
Fall off the top.
I
to
agree
push it over.
With yeah. the danger mm-hmm. of everything that you said.
Yep.
There's no question about that. We're not looking for anyone to get hurt
no.
in these situations.
No.
But you can't tell me that you cannot slow it down. You can't tell me that. I understand that you got 100, maybe not even 175 people around the perimeter of, for instance, on a basketball court. I understand.
It feels like when hundreds to me when I see the onrush.
No, I'm not talking about I'm talking about the security.
Yeah.
Got,
security, yes.
Security probably got 75
maybe,
around.
Maybe
100.
Yeah. 100's a lot.
And you got 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 yeah. people coming with some steam. I understand that.
Yeah.
But if you, the PA announcer, has put this out there along with the information on your big screen, yeah. along with the tickets, hey, yeah. if this is it up, if you put that message out there
yeah.
enough times,
mm-hmm.
it will slow down.
Maybe. Yeah, Bill Self said he's had circumstances where he's called timeout with 15 seconds left to tell his team, I need you over here. Like,
yeah.
like let's
yeah.
just let the – don't even worry about playing defense or whatever. I need you to start to move over here. As the game ticks down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I want all of you coming yeah. toward me because we had to get you out of harm's way.
Yeah, okay. So all there right. you go.
Okay.
There are ways
way. Yeah.
to do it. The way everybody is acting, though, is to shut it down.
Yes.
Oh, shut it down. Yeah. Shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to do it, though? Do you really want to shut it down?
I would. I don't see any good to it
so
at all.
You don't see that the students who are spending $200,000 on their education that wants
education.
To be
yeah,
that wants
fine.
To be a part of this celebration.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, maybe it was a lifelong dream, maybe it wasn't, maybe it's the moment.
They get like
know.
The first 20 rows at midcourt of the stands.
See,
that's fine. That's enough.
A lot of people, not a lot, but it's a few, which is a lot, will never experience that because their schools would never be able to beat anybody. There's a lot of them.
Sure.
And, you
I'll
know, there's
that.
Just a lot of them. Yep. So they never get a chance to experience.
Okay.
But the ones that do get an opportunity that sit around for 4 or 5 years,
yep.
we finally upset USC at home.
Okay. Scream and yell. Go have another beer. Go back to the frat
See,
house
I just
or
don't,
whatever.
I just don't agree
yep.
with that. I think
okay.
you have to put some things in place
mm-hmm.
to mitigate that situation that could occur.
All right.
You have to.
Okay. And you also have to mitigate and save the Filipowskis from themselves because I'm still
well,
convinced.
Well, Bill Self did a hell of a job if he's telling his team, hey, man, y'all come over here and stand by me
no,
because we're going to lose this game on the road and this is what's getting ready to happen. If he truly is doing that,
yeah.
then he's proactive with it.
Okay.
He's actually getting it done.
So you suggested yesterday that Filipowski just isn't athletic enough to get out of the way.
Yeah, it didn't look like it to me.
And by the way,
stop, you know, move.
But by the way, he is now in ESPN's mock NBA draft.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
He's ninth in the draft, so he's going to go
Tom Brady
top
is
10.
The greatest quarterback
okay.
ever. He ain't
all
athletic.
Right. But he's a pretty good player. He's got a nice feel for the game. I don't think he's all that. Again, I'm not saying I would draft him because those are the kind of guys who would scare me to death. But he is a skilled big man who
yes.
can pass it and shoot it. And he actually has, he's blocking a couple of shots a game. So that's pretty good. But the point on this is He looks angry to me. He looks like he's trying to take it out on the like he's inflicting.
Well, initiating. His first reaction felt to me as if he saw it and he was just trying to protect himself.
Yeah.
The first reaction.
Yeah.
That reaction was like, hold on. And then for whatever reason, he started spinning around in a circle and put his head down. And I don't know how he hurt his knee or what he hurt actually. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. See, right there, it just looked like he was trying to push his way through.
That looks like a trip to me, and then a little bit of a body block. But whatever. This is where players can get just as, like your emotions are spilling.
That is true.
Right? Because you're getting humiliated by wake at wake, and you don't like it. And God knows what they've been screaming at.
Well, look, this is the same thing that happened, only it was a player with LeGarrette Blount at Boise State when they had the whole confrontation. Take that uniform off of that player, that is a student getting into the face or saying something, much like the player did with LeGarrette Blount.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I get it. I understand everything you're saying, Skip. My only pushback is you can't tell me it can't be fixed and the celebration can still go on. You cannot tell me that. We fix things every single day in sports, man. We fix it every day.
Okay, so let's storm the court in an orderly manner. That's like
nobody's
oxymoronic.
Saying stand in the damn line.
You can't walk onto the
nobody
court.
Is
They're
saying
going
that.
To run on the court pell-mell, hell-bent.
So are you telling me that if the PA announcer, and they put it on the big screen, and they flash it, and it's on your season tickets, and you know, hey, if we are upset, we upset a team, whatever, Duke comes into town, there's going to be a three-minute delay to let the players exit. Mm-hmm. You still believe, over time, that you're going to get 5,000-6,000 people rushing onto the court. You don't think that they would, over time, sit back and wait because they know that this
in
is
in many cases,
happen.
That would be treated as a dare. Like, oh, yeah, watch this. Watch what we
okay,
do.
Okay, so you're going to get, so instead of multiple people, you're going to get whatever, the 10 people that's drunk, but you're not going to get thousands
there
the same
a
way.
Bunch of drunk ones.
Yeah, but you're not going to get thousands, Skip. You're going to be able to be crowd controlled.
What's the biggest difference between college students today and college students when you were at USC? What's the biggest change in their life is social media.
Social media,
correct?
No question.
So how many of those kids want to TikTok their court storm and get their 15 seconds of fame?
Many
right?
of them.
Yeah.
But you're missing my point. Mm. It's not going to be several thousand like it was at the weight game. If you make sure that you announce to the crowd, to the people, at whatever time you deem it, before the season, during the season, whatever, it's going to slow it down. It's not going to be thousands. You're going to always have somebody do something, right?
Yeah.
What was the lady for years in baseball that used to run on the field and lift her shirt up? And
I once wrote a whole piece about her.
Marla something or whatever it was. Morgana or something. Everybody knows you're not supposed to jump on the field.
She was like the kissing bandit.
Yeah, but everybody knows you're not supposed to jump on the field to play.
Yeah.
But we see streakers all the time. It's always one person.
Yeah.
You're going to always get one person that says, I'm doing it regardless.
Yeah.
You're going to always get one person.
All I know is I know Bill Self pretty well, and I like him. I know he's had his issues, but I believe in what he says, and I think he was stepping out yesterday to make a big statement for the sake of college basketball.
What is he going to say?
Oh, well,
what are the college basketball coaches going
to
say?
Oh, you know what? You could play to the crowd. You could play to your students and say, you know, we have the greatest fans in the world here. We got the greatest tradition here.
He's probably now that. So you got who's left? My man at Michigan State.
Yeah, Izzo. Yeah,
Izzo.
Mm-hmm. He's up there.
Krzyzewski's gone. Yeah, you got Izzo. You got Bill Self.
Yeah.
My man at Villanova's gone.
Yeah. They're
so
gone.
Bill Self is a guy, right? Him in between those two. Those are the two guys.
That is true.
So they're gonna say the right things. Yeah. They are.
But they're not really. That's not preaching to your crowd, though. That
he doesn't need to preach to the crowd.
No.
He doesn't need to preach to the crowd. How many people are going into Kansas upset in Kansas?
Well,
how many times is Kansas going on the road to be
Bill
upset?
Bill made the point. He thinks they've been court stormed more than anybody over his time there. Because they,
if they drop in games to Texas Tech. Yeah, yeah. Texas Tech. Then that's, right. Texas Tech fans deserve it.
All right. I'm just glad we're talking about it, if nothing else. Sorry about this, Wayne. We will reconvene.
He's old, Wayne. No mercy. No mercy. No
mercy. Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Some draft analysts are ranking Caleb Williams as an all-time great prospect, while I've also seen significant negativity about him. Now, reportedly, the Bears are preparing to trade Justin Fields. So, Keyshawn, you watched Caleb Williams pretty closely for two seasons while he played for your school. You spent some time with and around him. Should Caleb Williams go number one overall?
Okay, that's not the question you should be asking me. Mm. The question you should be asking me is, should the Chicago Bears move on from Justin Fields and draft Caleb Williams?
Okay.
Right?
All right. Well, that's the inference. That's the suggestion, although they could trade the number one pick, too.
So if you would have phrased it to me that way,
Well, you should answer whatever question you feel like answering.
No, okay? I'm trying to dance around it a certain way.
Okay.
I don't think that the Bears should trade Justin Fields.
You're on record with that.
Okay, I think that Justin Fields should still be a Chicago Bear. Chicago Bears should draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and go get a tackle with their second pick and build their roster. That's what I think. But I'm not Ryan Poles. Now, let's assume that they do trade Justin Fields. Now, should Caleb Williams be the number one overall pick? I don't know that he should be the number one overall pick because I don't know if he's better than Jaden Daniels from LSU.
That's the question.
By way of Arizona State and Herm Edwards and that group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And I don't doubt that Drake May will get in this conversation at some point, depending on how he throws this week at the combine, because he's going to the combine and those other two you mentioned are not going to participate at the combine.
So we don't know of Drake May. Mm-hmm. So these things, as I said before, really start right now in the evaluation process. The evaluation doesn't start during the season. The evaluation process starts when the season is over for the NFL, not for college football, for the NFL, because this is the first time outside of the Senior Bowls and the All-Star games that scouts and some coaches get an opportunity to have conversations and sit down and meet with these young men.
Mm.
This is the first time that people that need quarterbacks will be in that building, sitting down, having real deep conversations about the prospects that they are so looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams is a really talented person. He's a really talented football player. He's got a lot of skill sets. You go, oh, wow, okay, that's nice. But there's a lot of stuff that you sit back and you look at and you go, I can't live with that. I can't live with 70% of the things off schedule. I can't live with that.
That's what it is.
I can't.
Yep.
I got that already in Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation is not perfect. Now, he fits a certain model and skill set, just like Jaden Daniels does, that the NFL quarterback position is leading toward. He's in that same kind of, can he run the RPO game? Same thing as Jaden Daniels. Can he run the RPO game? Can he do these sort of things on the off-schedule stuff? Yes, he can. But when you get these coordinators that don't like that, because everybody's not going to be Patrick Mahomes. Stop the Patrick Mahomes comparisons because he throws the ball a certain way on a no look because Patrick Mahomes did it. Stop trying to compare him to Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has been in 3 Super Bowls, done 1-2, got MVPs, $1 billion in contracts. Like, stop it.
Mm.
I get it. It's the easy thing to do. And then when you start to say that Caleb Williams is a once in a lifetime type prospect and, you know, he's the highest grade ever and all that. Stop. Everybody's the highest grade when they come out of college. I could go a long laundry list of prospects. Oh, I can go all the way back. He's the best we've ever seen. He's the best we ever seen. He makes the biggest throws. And then how does it work out for you? It doesn't work out sometimes so well. Mm-hmm. Or then it does work out somewhere. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, when it works out the way it's supposed to, you know what they look like? Mm. They look like Peyton Manning. That's what they look like. They look like Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
When I'm talking about number one overall pick types. So when you start saying Caleb Williams, he comes from a system, in an air raid system, that has not produced any quarterback of any significance in a National Football League. Mm. Not a one. Well, you know, Kyler Murray had some really good seasons. You really think you're going to win with that? You really honestly think you're going to win a Super Bowl, which is the goal when you draft in a quarterback number one overall. Mm-hmm. There's a reason. There's a reason that that hasn't worked out at the level that you would think, let alone college, because they ain't won nothing in college either. Nothing. Yeah, well, Oklahoma went to... Stop! Don't want to hear Oklahoma went to a couple Final Fours. Mm. Didn't win anything with it.
No.
At all.
But they ran into the SEC twice.
Skip.
It was Alabama and Georgia.
I don't care.
Baker took Georgia to two overtimes.
That's great. Baker took him to two overtimes.
And Georgia was loaded.
That's great. Baker went number one overall.
Yep.
He's been on four teams since then, or whatever the number is.
He had a good year last year.
Okay, he played well. Mm-hmm. Let's not turn it into something that is more than what it is. I like Baker, too, a lot.
Yeah.
As a person, there's no question about it. Mm. Okay? Kyler Murray went to a Pro Bowl or two. Put up some numbers, can run around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm talking not only system-wise, I'm talking size-wise, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is on the smaller side. When you talk about success, I don't want to hear anything about Russell Wilson with the Legion of Boom. I don't want to hear anything about Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Those are outliers, man. Mm. I'm just giving you real, true facts. Mm. You say, look at Patrick Mahomes. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't tell me, look at Patrick Mahomes, he played at Texas Tech. Patrick Mahomes, they passed on Patrick Mahomes. It took Andy Reid and John Dorsey to say he could play. Because everybody else passed on him.
Not John Dorsey. No.
John Dorsey, right?
Yeah.
John Dorsey, the general manager.
He was Cleveland.
No. Yeah. He drafted Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's John Dorsey. So when you look at that, Skip, Patrick Mahomes is on the shorter side, but he ain't really short. Patrick Mahomes is 6'1"-ish dude, but he got Andy Reid as his offensive.
He's a little taller than that.
He might be taller than that. Mm-hmm. He might be taller than 6'1". Mm-hmm. But he ain't 5'0".
He's not.
See, he's sixes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Caleb, and we'll know because he'll measure and all that. I don't know that Caleb is 6'1.5", 6'2". I don't know that.
I told you the first day I met you back in August, I don't think he's above 6 feet tall. I just don't. He's got a nice base to him. He's got thick legs and he's got a nice power base, but I don't think he's above 6 feet tall.
So when you go to the combine and they measure you, your toes and feet are going to be out flat like this. You're going to be up against a wall and they take your shoulders and they push them down.
Yep.
So the whole I'm going to extend my neck thing, they not having that. So all I'm saying is you got a lot of things working against him.
Yeah.
And those other quarterbacks will, too. That's why it's not a consensus that he's going to be, in my opinion, the first quarterback off the board.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's okay.
Mm.
Because it's not going to be the number one pick. It's being in the right place.
Yeah.
In the right team, in the right fit to have success.
Yeah.
In your career. So I wouldn't be discouraged about anything that I'm saying if I'm Caleb Williams. I'm just laying out the facts.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to go on record as saying that Caleb Williams will prove to be better than Justin Fields has been or will be. I believe that Caleb Williams will prove to be very good in the National Football League, and I think Justin is pretty good and not bad. I'd take him, especially if I were strapped at quarterback. You can win games with Justin Fields. I believe you can win more games with Caleb. The problem is, if you take him number one overall, will he go Eli Elway on you, and you know his father, will they try to power play you into not going to the Chicago Bears because they don't want to be in Chicago in the cold weather? Or they don't want to be with that franchise.
Well, the cold weather's not a problem for him because he's a D.C. kid. And if he wants to go to D.C. with a guy that was on the staff
Kingsbury. This is cold weather.
No, I get it, but you still get a frost, right?
Yeah.
And to try to pull, I don't want to do this or do that or do this or that. John Elway was a first pick in baseball. He was a first rounder in baseball. So it's a little different.
And Eli was a Manning. So he was, yeah.
Yeah, but Eli not only was a Manning, he had already been picked number one. Mm. He was picked and decided to say, I don't want to deal with the Spanoses in San Diego. I want to go to the big lights in New York.
Yep.
This is a little bit different. It's a little bit different.
Okay. So what did I see from Caleb? So I watched him closely at Oklahoma. You watched him closely the last 2 years.
But I watched him at Oklahoma when he took over for Adler.
So that Texas game, his true freshman year, he gets thrown into the hottest fire they play in all year long because this is
a bad Texas team, but go ahead.
Okay, but he gets thrown into the fire of a game that ends up 55-48. Neither team could play defense, but Oklahoma pulled it out. And in that game, he was spectacular. And it's hard for a true freshman to get thrown into that and be as spectacular as he was. And I saw true playmaking charisma where he was not afraid. He said, I will take this game over from Spencer Rattler, who so far in that game had thrown it 15 times, completed 8, 1 pick. And Lincoln Riley, stinking Lincoln, left us. But he just said, okay, I've seen enough.
I left too. It's Norman, Oklahoma.
Norman, Oklahoma is
a great
place.
For the beach of California. Come on, man, stop it.
I love it. In that game, Caleb Williams walks into the huddle and says, watch this. And he goes 16-25 for 212 the rest of the way, 2 touchdowns and no interceptions, has a QBR of 98. This is a raw, true freshman playing his first little taste of college football. He ran the ball 4 times for 88 yards, and he had a 66-yard touchdown run. And I said, that kid's got charisma, like playmaking charisma, where you either have it or you don't. He's got it.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it too much because, to your point, he came to Hollywood and he started to fall in love, not just with Hollywood. I thought he started to fall in love with being Caleb Williams. And he thought he had to live up and live up. And he won the Heisman, obviously, a year ago. And then this year, he's really trying to watch this. I'll outdo myself. I'll outplay my playmaking. I'll do this. Watch this. And to your point, it goes 70% off script. And every once in a while, off script, he makes a throw where you say, my God, I don't know how many humans can make that throw. That's Mahomesian. That's where the comparisons
but
come from.
You can't do that.
Okay. But listen, he has a flair to him, a feel for how to escape, how to pivot, how to throw on the run. And yet sometimes he gets very inaccurate on the run and will make boneheaded plays, too. You're going to have to leave a lot of that behind in Los Angeles if that's you can't play that way because you can't out-athlete people at your at the next level.
At all.
There are just too many of them.
This
there are too
not,
many athletes.
This is, I tell people all the time, Skip, this is not a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid that just left high school and was at the prom 4 months ago.
Yeah.
These are grown men with full beards with car seats in the back of the SUV. They're coming to hunt.
They're not playing for Utah anymore.
No, they're not.
Yeah. Okay. I just think he is a special playmaker, and if he gets with the right place, right time, right system, and somebody who can ride herd on it and sort of package it and corral it and harness it, it is superior.
But think about what you just said, though, Skip. You just said a whole lot.
Yeah.
Package it, harness it, get with the right person. Mm-hmm. You don't think you can say the same thing about Justin Fields?
Yeah.
If you get with
Justin
the right
Fields
person.
Justin Fields, he's good.
He Justin is really Fields good. Is only throwing a DJ Moore. He just got him a year ago. He's had 3 different offensive coordinators, for crying out loud. And a bad, 2 bad head coaches.
Boy, I would be hard pressed.
And if you, Caleb, and you going into that situation, think about it. Justin Fields is leaving potentially that situation, which isn't going to change a whole lot.
No.
And you're a rookie going into that situation.
Yeah.
Well, how much success you think he going to have?
It won't be easy.
It's not going to be easy.
And that's not a loaded football team.
At all.
Yeah.
I can know Mooney probably's not going to be there at the receiver position in free agency.
Yeah.
Now you got DJ Moore as the only long ranger. That's it.
Okay.
I can't name anybody else on the offensive side of the ball at the skill position for them.
So you would make that Ohio State receiver whom you interviewed in Columbus, Ohio.
I would make him the number one dude.
You would make him number one pick for the first time since 1996 when Keyshawn went number one.
I would legitimately make him the number one guy. I would take me a tackle to protect my quarterback. Wow. And then I would go in free agency with all the money that I have.
Yeah.
And pick me some players in free agency and build my roster through the draft. And be in a division that I think is takeable.
Okay. You're going to have to pay that young receiver a whole lot of money if he's the first pick.
Yeah, you got to give him $40 million. Yeah. You're going to have to do that with the quarterback as well. Don't tell me anything about resetting the quarterback room and you're going to have to make a decision on Justin Fields. I don't want to, because that to me is one of the biggest, weirdest cop-outs that I hear from people saying you can set the quarterback room by drafting a guy and the money. Kansas City done went to three championships or whatever the case since Patrick Mahomes got his deal. Since he got his deal.
Yeah.
He didn't win. He won on the rookie deal, then they paid him. Mm. And the dude done been in two more Super Bowls and won another one and another MVP. So that is I don't know where they came up with this. You can see reset the quarterback room. Reset the quarterback room. I'm like, come on, stop. Mm. That's nothing to do with resetting a quarterback room. Either you good and you can play, or you can't play and you're not good, and therefore they're going to run you out of there if they gave you a boatload of money or not.
Okay. Do you question Caleb's leadership skills? Now that he's been a Heisman Trophy winner in Hollywood, is he going to be harder to deal with? Is he going to be sort of above it all? Will he be able to connect with a pro football team?
I think he'll be able to connect with a pro football team, but here's what I will say, though. Pro football don't allow your daddy to come hang out at the practice field. It's different at the pro level than it is in college. You're now grown.
That's a factor.
You're not gonna, Pops is cool because he's your pops, but he's not gonna be able to be there every single day and doing those sort of things that may go on in college.
Yep.
He's not gonna have that same type of, I don't know, I don't want to call it influence, but that around. He's not going to be, it's a different world that you live in as a professional. And I think he can be a leader as long as he's playing well. Mm. Because what he can't do is he can't fall into a fake leadership role.
Yeah.
He has to be who he is, right? He has to just be who he is. Whatever it is that we saw of Caleb, that's who he has to be. Don't try to be something different, because those players, those grown men in that locker room, they can see you a mile away.
Yeah.
And so can the coaches.
I agree. I thought the father influence played a small part, but a part.
I like Carl.
But in RG3's downfall from his, his father
hurt,
was
though.
Involved.
He got
did
hurt.
Get hurt and he never came
the
back.
The Shanahans put him out there on a bad leg and he got hurt. But what I would say about Carl, Caleb's dad, is he just got to, sometimes you got to just Let the people you hire handle the job.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. I like Carl, but you got to let the people handle the business who you hire to do that.
All right. Interesting point. Okay. So now LeBron wants a new long-term deal with the Lakers? Really? 3-4 more years? You ready? Okay. No mercy. No mercy. No mercy.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Brian Windhorst reports that LeBron is interested in a new multi-year nine-figure contract to stay with the Lakers. So, Keyshawn, would you like to have LeBron being your highest paid player for the next, say, 3 years?
He won't be the highest paid player for the next 3 years.
Mm.
The highest paid player would be Anthony Davis.
Mm.
Knowing
LeBron,
LeBron's got $1 billion, man. LeBron, $50 million. I understand you're looking at the $50 million and you're saying, well, he's going to want that and then some. I don't think that's the case. He's at a point in his career where it's not about the money. The dude's he makes 100 and 60-something million dollars a year, something crazy like that, between his shoe money and his endorsements and his NBA contract. I would sign him to a extension. I would do that for sure. He's still at a high level of basketball.
He is.
If you didn't know his age, in the back of his name said James, you wouldn't even be sitting here saying that. You'd be like, oh, okay, that guy right there can really play. So what you do is you take that $50 million and you restructure it, and you give him probably 3 years, $100 million. You know, you give him 3 years, $100 million. So what's that, about $33 million a year? You do that. And I guarantee you, Skip, that's kind of probably the area that they're talking about. Now you have money to play with to go sign another person or two or whatever the case is. And on top of that, you got to factor in his son into the equation 2-3 years from now. You just do. I mean, that's the reality of it. We all know that he wants to play with his son. We all know that. He's been on record. Everybody's been on record saying that's his goal, is for him and his son to share the same jersey and take the picture, and they got the photo. That's the goal. And the Lakers would certainly entertain that, and I'm sure LeBron James is certainly entertaining an extension with them, and they're entertaining an extension with him.
When has LeBron James, in his 39 years, ever taken less money? Never.
He's always 39, okay. Skip.
Okay, so pride still kicks in because of what you opened by saying, if you take the name off the back, he still looks like he's 29 or whatever. Well, that's what he thinks. So there's no way he's going to take 33.
Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? To win a championship, to bring a third body, give more money to the franchise.
That should have been a long time ago. He should have gone Tom Brady a long time ago.
Well, stop,
he should have.
Man. Stop.
Tom Brady always.
Tom Brady pump faking y'all with that I took a pay cut stuff. Y'all better stop that, man. No. Stop it.
Well, he did.
Oh, God, stop.
What do you mean stop?
Because that's not true.
Okay, you think there's under the table money or what?
It's things baked in your contract so you can make the money up. They don't report it that way, though. They report it as what you wanted is a pay cut. Or you taking less to help the franchise out. Stop,
well,
man. Y'all got to stop. You got to stop in this sports media space always saying that somebody's taking a pay cut. Just because they push it over to the side and you don't see it in the body of the contract or it's not being reported, Tom Brady ain't paying for $20 million when he can play for $50. Let's stop being, I don't want to say stupid, but let's stop being naive to the fact that guys take less base salary money and make it up in other ways.
Okay, but it has to be reported. Are you talking about circumventing the cap?
No, it's not circumventing the cap.
Okay, well,
it's
I know what the bottom line was. I know what the numbers are.
It's the way you report it. It's the way you report it when you're reporting things. Yeah. When their PR staff says that somebody is taking less money, that's the way you're going to report it. And that player is going to say, yeah, I took less money.
Well, you can just see the deal.
But guess what? Ain't nobody, most of the people don't have access to the deals, and the ones that do don't know how to read it to the point of reporting it the way that it is. Just being honest with you. I get so tired of the, oh, he took less money. Man, stop it.
Okay, so you think.
You get ready to tell me Tom Brady left $200 million on the table to play for the Patriots?
Well, it was widely reported he did.
Okay, all right, man. I'll let you keep believing that.
Okay.
I'll let you keep believing.
Okay, so you're saying that was all hocus pocus, like that? That was.
Yes, I'm saying it's all hocus pocus. Okay. I am 100% saying that. 100% saying it.
Well, I would see the figures. What's the website under the cap, over the cap, whatever it's called? You know, they'd have the details of the deal, and he was taking significantly less money.
He might have been taking significantly less money than what he was worth.
Yeah,
but it's not a pay cut. Y'all report it always as a pay cut or less money.
Well, just taking less money, however you want to say it. It's not like he had it and gave it back. He just took less.
Skip, it's likely to be earned, unlikely to be earned.
Yeah.
Things that's likely to be earned, he's going to earn it.
Mm.
Hey, it's called, I'm going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to the playoffs. I'm going to this. They know that he's going to accomplish those things.
All right, let's go back to NBA.
That doesn't affect the salary cap.
Let's go back to the great Tim Duncan. And if you look at his last 5 years in the league, Tim Duncan took peanuts. It was like laughable. It was kind of embarrassing how little money Tim Duncan took for the last 5 years
that's
of his career.
That's Tim Duncan and his family and his agent. Yep. That ain't got nothing to do with Rich Paul and LeBron.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
That's what he decided to
and
do.
And guess what happened? Some championships happened in there.
And LeBron James won championships. Why should LeBron James, if he decided 5 years ago when he came to the Lakers to get the max that he's supposed to get, why is that an indictment on him?
Well, it's not an indictment, but that's what he's always done. And you can't tell me that all of a sudden he's going to say, you know what? I'm fading into the woodwork here. Give me $30 million. He won't say that.
He's not going to say he's fading to anything, Skip. Yeah. He's got $1 billion.
That doesn't matter.
It matters.
This is about pride.
You want it to be about pride for him.
It's always been about pride.
You want it to be about pride for him.
He's had $1 billion for years.
He's wanting an extension, potentially, according to Brian Windhorst, with the Lakers on a multi-year deal that reaches into that $100 million stratosphere. I came up with the number of $100 million because I figured 33, get to 100, that's about fine. Because certainly don't want to give him 150 at 50-plus a year because we can't sign another max player if we did that. He knows that already. $50 million less than what he probably can get, that doesn't change his life. It does nothing for him. It absolutely does nothing, Skip.
It's only about pride. It's about who he is. It's about what he's...
You want it to be about pride and ego because it's LeBron James.
And
you don't
want
to accept the fact that this young man could... I don't even want to call him a young man because he's old now. That LeBron James could sit back and say... I'm good. I want to just win. And I can make 90 over the next three. I can make 100 over the next three. I can make 110 over the next three. And I'm still good. You want him to be like, I'm ego and I'm this.
No, that's the way you want it to be. No, I'm talking about reputation, you've earned in just gate attraction. You don't think he's worth 60, 70 million?
He's worth it. Yeah. You can't. There's no price on it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter to him.
Mm.
It doesn't matter at this point in his career. It's almost like Chris Paul. Chris Paul took a deal with the Phoenix Suns. He was due, I don't remember what the number was because it was a couple years ago, but he was due 40, 50 million or whatever that number was.
You can't compare Chris Paul.
No, I'm not. I'm comparing a decision to extend and take less money to play. That's what I'm comparing it to. I'm not comparing their legacies. I'm not doing that. I'm just talking about the end of their contract, the money that was due to him.
Yeah.
He decided to package it up, Skip, and extend it out, take less money to still play.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that is where LeBron James is at in his career. Mm. He's not worried about some money or somebody saying it's his ego, his reputation. He's always done this. He's not worried about that.
He is. Mark my words. Watch. Just remember you said this, that he's going to take 30-odd million for 3 years. No way. There is no way. Mm-mm.
He's going to take less money than what he's worth.
I'm worth what I'm worth. That's what
he's
going to say.
No, he's not. He's not going to do that for this team and the Lakers. He's just not. He's not going to do it.
Okay. Watch.
Okay. Right. Well,
this whole notion, the worst thing you said was, he's got enough money. I'll go back to the late, great Tex Schramm, who the architect of the original Dallas Cowboys. I once made the mistake of saying, he's got enough money. Tex Schramm looked me in the eye and said, no one ever has enough money.
That is very true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But in this situation, the fact that he's trying to build and win championships more in Los Angeles, and if you can get a third body, I don't know who the third body will be, but if you get a third body and you're on the back nine, headed out in your career, this is not Michael Jeffrey Jordan making $2 million and then jumping to 30 when he didn't make any money. This is not that situation, Skip.
Michael
this is a
never,
guy who's...
Michael never got what he was worth. Never.
But that's not...
Never.
You're not listening again.
Yeah, no,
you're not listening again. I said Michael was underpaid, and then all of a sudden he jumped him to 30. This is not the same thing. He didn't make enough money in the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
So at the end of his career, he was paid where he should have been his entire career.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm on record. LeBron James will not play for less than $50 million.
But then you lost your damn mind, Skip.
Okay, watch. Just watch. I'll stand by what I said. No mercy, no mercy, no mercy.